You're listening to Radio Diaries. This is Joe, and I have some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Ear Hustle is back with a new season. Hosts Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods are bringing you unique, surprising stories from four California prisons. This season, they have some truly interesting perspectives. You'll hear from people who are so comfortable in prison that they no longer want to be free. And you'll hear from mothers of inmates about the complicated reality of having adult children in prison. The show is full of candid interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and it just keeps getting better. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts and at earhustlesq.com. This episode of Radio Diaries has support from Indeed. Finding new hires shouldn't feel like a second job, and that's why Indeed only matches you with quality candidates that fit your job description. Indeed makes hiring more organized. You can screen, message, and schedule interviews with candidates all in one place. So try it out. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/diaries. Just go to Indeed.com/diaries right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This episode of Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radiotopia.
From PRX.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. This is episode 7 of our series, Hunker Down Diaries, stories about ordinary life in extraordinary times. Today on the show, The Final Frontline. The Kearns family funeral business was founded in New York City in the year 1900. Over 120 years, the family has seen a lot of history. Patrick Kearns and Paul Kearns Stanley are the owners. And after 4 months, they finally had a chance to reflect on the COVID-19 pandemic and how it's looked from their corner of New York. They sat down together on a recent evening at the end of a long workday in their funeral home in Queens.
So my name is Patrick Kearns. I'm a fourth generation funeral director and work here with my business partner and brother-in-law.
Hi, I'm Paul Kearns Stanley, and we're undertakers.
Even after being around funerals for 25 years, just this was different and definitely had a much heavier emotional toll than anything previous.
I do think of it like a wave that hit us. You don't see it coming, it knocks you over. You get tossed and you're trying to figure out which way is up.
Right, it's that first week of April. We took in 100 funerals when normally we would have done 15. And I'm not sleeping at night. We're working 14-hour days, you know. Just the number of calls, the number of phone calls that were coming in was unbelievable. I couldn't return them all, but the people that called saying, can you help me? I've called 30 funeral homes. And I'd listen to the voices and could tell, I'm like, God, this is a 25-year-old kid on the other end of the line that has to make funeral arrangements for their parents because one is deceased and the other is on a respirator. And they're lost. And it weighs heavy on you.
Well, so we had a conversation about what are we going to do? How are we going to care for these people? How much are we going to attempt to do?
Yeah, and we committed early to we're going to give people the opportunity to see their loved ones. And there was a fear of whether you can contract COVID from the bodies. But again, this is what we do. We're undertakers, we're funeral directors, we're embalmers. And I remember the first funeral I directed that is after the CDC is now, that's it. Like, no more than 10 people. For this guy who was active in the Knights of Columbus, and there would have been a lot more people there normally. You know, it would have been one of these wakes that would have had people coming and going. And now there's 6 people. They're spread out around the room. They're all wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask. It's the widow and a couple of her grandkids and her children. And she's in her 70s. She can't hug her grandkids as they are there to bury their grandfather. And I'm up in front of the 6. It's a Catholic funeral, so I'm going to say that part of the Catholic rite. So just, as I'm reading this prayer, now I'm like having a hard time keeping it together. I'm gonna break down in front of, it's only 6 people, but I'm the funeral director. I'm not supposed to be crying at this funeral, and then, to take to the cemetery. And again, at the cemetery, we need to stand, 50 feet away from a hole in the ground, all 6 feet apart. And then to watch her just kind of wave to everyone from a distance and get in a car and go. I felt like I don't want to direct another funeral again.
Not like this.
No.
Well, personally for me, when I walk away from these short funerals, these terse funerals, I don't have the same sense of accomplishment or that it's done the way we wanted it done. I think to make a funeral, there's a lot of parts to it. And during that process, you make a connection to people, you bond with them. And I've always said, if you really want to get to know a person, make a funeral arrangement with them. The amount of trust they put in you, they tell you about the workings of their family, the good sides, the bad sides. I miss that. And I'm afraid that that is going to somehow not come back, to a degree anyway.
But now we have a lull here, hopefully. We have a chance to get some rest, catch up. But I'm worried about what comes next. There's no historical precedent other than 1918, which that flu pandemic was like 3 waves. There was the initial wave, a fall wave, and then one a year later. So I am very fearful and want to make sure we're prepared for those next 2 waves. I do believe what we're doing is important and we need to be doing it, but it is definitely definitely been a difficult ride.
New York City undertaker Patrick Kearns and his partner and brother-in-law, Paul Kearns Stanley. So far this year, their family business has conducted more than 500 funerals, which is already more than they did in all of 2019. This story was produced by Jessica Diehl with help from Nellie Gillis, Sarah Kate Kramer, and me. Our editors are Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. Radio Diaries is part of Radiotopia, a listener-supported network from PRX. Yeah, I think I'll hunker down. If you've been listening to the show these past few months, you know that we've been doing a series of stories about life in the pandemic. As part of our Hunker Down Diary series, we brought you stories about a woman living in her car, what it's like to be in lockdown when you're locked up, a 107-year-old who survived the 1918 flu pandemic, and a couple who quarantined together after their first date. Today is our last Hunker Down Diary, at least for now. If you've enjoyed the series, we hope you'll tell a friend and let us know. You can find us in all the usual places, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'll be back next month with some new stories that we're really excited about. So until then, I'm Joe Richman of Radio Diaries. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
From PRX.